Birchie Kid joins us. Television's Will Birchfield and website contributor. What's up, Birchie?
What's going on, boys? Hey, Karsh, how was that Purdue football beer last weekend? That one looked pretty glorious. Where does that rank on the list of beer? Is that somewhere between like free beer and cold beer?
Yeah, locker room beer. I got to tell you, it's been so long since I sat in the stands, and I don't think I'd ever had a beer in the stands at a college football game until last Friday night. So it was pretty glorious, my friend. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, it looked like you were in your element. So I wish I could have been there with you.
I didn't have one.
Yeah, no, you never do.
No.
That's the hardest thing to do in life. I'm still working on that myself.
All right, so you're there, and always on Friday, there's a little bit of a walkthrough you guys get to see, and then Dan Campbell speaks. What is the most noteworthy thing that happened today?
Well, just so a quick practice update, Josh Pascal, who's dealing with an illness that Dan Campbell said won't be a long-term issue, it did hold him out of practice this week, so he missed his third straight practice today, so I sort of doubt that we'll see him play on Sunday. And, oh boy, the Lions are suddenly down to Al Quadin Muhammad and Isaiah Thomas and James Houston and Isaac Ukwu on the edges, which is not exactly Aiden Hutchinson and Marcus Davenport and Derek Barnes as they envisioned 3 weeks ago. We also saw Ife Melifonwu pop up at practice yesterday, just working on the sidelines. First time we had seen him since he went on IR 4 weeks ago. He's still a ways out from returning, but obviously a piece they want to get back at some point this season.
You know, you look at Tennessee coming in this week, and I think at the beginning of the week I started feeling, is this going to be a trap game? Because you've got the Packers afterwards. Then you had the JMO stuff come down. And they're obviously still reeling from what happened to Hutchinson. Do you think that those stories are going to help prevent any kind of a trap game? I realize they've already got Dan Campbell. That probably does it anyway. But having the next man up mentality and the guys that aren't practicing this week, that maybe that keeps them away from it being a trap game.
Yeah, I think so. I think this team has such conviction in itself and in who they are that they won't fall victim to a trap game. You know, that may have happened in years past, but this team has just been so steady and reliable now for 2 years, really, that I'd be shocked to see them come out with anything other than their best on Sunday. I think the one thing that's worth noting about the Titans is that rarely do you see a 1-5 team also possess the number one ranked defense in the NFL by total yardage. Now, they've obviously yielded a bunch of points, but they do have some playmakers, especially on that defensive line. And the reason they're 1-5, probably more than anything else, is that they're last or second to last in the NFL in turnover differential. And those stats can swing pretty wildly from game to game. It's a hard thing to rely on over the course of a season one way or another. So if they're able to change that trend on Sunday, this game probably becomes more interesting than it seems. But I just see the Lions, as they have done now for 2 years, taking care of business.
The turnover machine that is Will Levis is not playing in this game. Mason Rudolph will, which I actually think for them, it might feed into what they're trying to do better. But of course, they pulled the plug. They may not have Calvin Ridley, so it may not make a damn bit of difference. But if they actually move the football too, they just turn it over.
Yeah, and look, it's as we just referenced, it's going to be hard for the Lions to generate a pass rush, at least off the edge on Sunday. I mean, it was Ukwu and Pascal who handled the bulk of the defensive end reps last week. And on 59 pass rushing snaps, the two of them combined for two quarterback pressures, both of which came courtesy of Pascal, who probably won't play on Sunday. And so Campbell has been calling for Muhammad or Houston or Isaiah Thomas, who's making his Lions debut on Sunday, most likely to step up. But if there's a way for the Titans to stay in this game, it's probably by throwing it, because Mason Rudolph has all kinds of time in the pocket.
Well, if they're not going to get the pressure from the edge, then it means they're going to get pressure from linebackers and from Brian Branch blitzing. And we know that Aaron Glenn loves to do that. Aaron Glenn also loves to side out the heights and weights of his players, apparently, as we saw that. do you envision this being, and your boy Nowaski is showing up each for the last couple weeks with a sack. Are you calling for one this week?
Yeah, let's make it 3-3 games, huh? How about Trevor Nowaski? I love that yesterday in the locker room, The Lions made two players available to the media in like the designated interview area, one of whom was superstar receiver Amon-Ra St. Brown, the other of whom was Trevor Nowoski from Canton, who sounds more like a ticket texter than he does a Lions backer, a linebacker making plays for this team. But he just keeps on showing up, and he didn't play quite as much last week as he did against the Cowboys, but he's got a nose for the quarterback, and he is, I will say this for Trevor Nowoski, highly athletic. Like, you guys are probably aware of the relative athletic score, a grading system used at pro days and in the combine just to weigh players' athleticism. And among like the 2,500 linebackers who have been graded by that system since it was invented in like 1987, Trevor Nowoski scored in the top 2 percentile. And for comparison, Derek Barnes, who's highly athletic himself, was more like the 10th or 15th percentile. So the Lions really do love his tools. And I tell you what, man, more and more they keep showing up. So, yeah, let's make it 3 sacks in 3 games for Trevor Nowoski.
It's hard not to look at this game and wonder if the Lions are going to try and do any shopping off the edge rushers and defensive line of the Titans, given that they're in sell mode. Is there any indication or any buzz down there, or it's probably maybe just you guys in the media talking about it, but is that something that that you see maybe happens here?
Oh, we're talking about it. No doubt, just as much as you guys are. Strangely, Brad Holmes hasn't come into the room yet to talk about it with us. we're waiting for him to make an appearance, but he has yet to show. I just get the sense that when they do make a move, and I think they will, it'll be for a player more like an Eric Armstead, a Za'Darius Smith. I know I've referenced Dietrich Wise from the Patriots. A player, in other words, who cost them more like a mid-round pick and is on an expiring contract for a couple of reasons. One, they still have a bunch of guys they have to get signed themselves over the next couple of years, including Hutchinson, including Kirby Joseph, including possibly Levi Onwuzurike, among others. And then two, I don't envision Brad Holmes, who has built this team via the draft, sacrificing multiple high picks to get a player like, say, Max Crosby, or like, say, Myles Garrett or Trey Hendrickson, just because I think he views that as, do I want one player who's already making, say, $25 million plus a year when I could have, say, Sam Laporta and Brian Branch, who were two high-round picks in the same draft, and they're both on rookie deals still. So I do think they make a move. I don't think it's of, like, the major splash variety.
Speaking of Laporta, we really haven't seen Sam break out in the game this week, this far in the season. Is this because is he still hobbled by the injury, or is it just the, hey, we got so many mouths to feed, it's just, you know, when it's his time, it's his time?
Yeah, I think it's the latter. I mean, he's been fully healthy by all accounts and by all appearances at practice for 3 or 4 weeks now, really coming out of the early bye. And they just, for whatever reason, haven't looked his way, or defenses have made them look to other players more often. And I mean, it still feels like only a matter of time before he gets going. He's such a trusted receiver, as you guys know, for Jared Goff. And maybe with J-Mo out, this is the time that we see Sam Laporta. Remember, they didn't have J-Mo for most of last season in the way they have him now. And defenses defended them differently, and Sam Laporta thrived against those kind of looks. So maybe this is a chance for him to step forward once again.
Are they going to elevate Allen Robinson or Isaiah Williams or both?
It's a great question. Allen Robinson sounds like for sure, but Isaiah Williams also garnered some really high praise from Dan Campbell and Aaron Glenn this week, who noted he's been like scout player of the week several times over the past month. So I think they like his quickness. But he just still seems so redundant to Khalif Raymond, and they want to use Raymond more this week. So Allen Robinson for sure, and I guess a maybe on Isaiah Williams. How's that for definitive reporting?
Yeah. Woo! Purchase!
Hey, we appreciate it. I got your Eagles tonight at home. BC is getting 7.5 hosting Louisville. How do you feel about that?
I feel like I need 7.5 beers to watch that game. That's how I feel about it. Hey, Gator, how do you feel about the World Series? You must hate this matchup. Two lavish, high-priced, iconic, traditional blue blood teams in the spotlight. You probably wanted Tigers Brewers if I know you like I think I do.
Hey, man, and you do. You know, it's funny because when I was a kid, my first memories of watching baseball were postseason baseball in the late 70s, watching the Yankees and the Dodgers and the World Series and back-to-back years and Bob Welch and the Reggie Jackson face-offs and all that. So it was from an early age that I learned to despise this matchup. However, that being said, I love Shohei Ohtani. I like Soto. You cannot ignore the superstar power of this series. And I think that will overpower any kind of hatred that I or other baseball fans have. You're gonna have to check it out of curiosity, because these are the best players in the game. And
it feels like the most deserving champion is going to be crowned. Hey, one more note from today's practice. The Lions like to start, as I've told you guys before, practice with a pat and go drill. Jared Goff taps the ball twice and then throws to his receivers downfield to warm them up. We've seen offensive linemen, especially Penei Sewell, stepping in and delivering those passes. He throws an absolute dime downfield. Hank Fraley, offensive line coach, told us that when the offensive linemen step in and throw passes in the pat and go drill, they call it the fat and go drill. So that was on display again today, and Penei Sewell was dropping dimes like Jared Goff.
He's going to throw a pass this year.
It's my hero,
you just
man.
Know he's going to throw a pass this year.
That is entirely.
There's no doubt. He might throw it to himself. He might throw it up and then also go catch it.
Take off and get it.
Bertie, thanks as always.
Yeah, sounds good, guys. Talk to you next week.
There he is, Inside Allen Park with Will Birchfield.